You are listening to The Academy, a resource of the North American Lutheran Church. To learn more, please visit us online at thenalc.org.
It's just an honor and a great privilege for me to bring God's Word and just to share what God is doing through this scripture and what God is speaking as a testimony and as a witness to our faith through the living Word of God. I'm sending you this message from a distant place as I was doing mission work in South Africa and now in East Africa, Ethiopia. In both places, God is doing an incredible work and an incredible result in our mission field. God is always at work. No matter what happens in the world, whether it is a communist persecution or COVID-19, the work of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ is unstoppable. And I'm sure all of you as dear pastors, brothers and sisters, and all of you the lay leaders who are attending have witnessed the same power of God, promise of God, and purpose of God at work in and through our life in these difficult days. In these difficult days, ministry has been stressful, not only to you, but to the entire world. But God has spoken to us. Ministry is not going to be done by our knowledge, skill, wisdom, or in our comfort zone. In good times and in bad times, in season and out of season, the gospel of Jesus Christ has continued to be proclaimed. And that gospel is unstoppable because of the living Spirit of God that is living in us. I bring you greetings from my family and also from the church leadership of the North American Lutheran Church, from our Bishop Don Selbo, from the Executive Council, from the Executive Staff, and from the Missions Office, and with all the co-workers that are working with me in the United States and around the world. Today, I'm asked to speak on the book of Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5 is one of those very famous scriptures in the New Testament where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And my message is coming from the gospel, from the book of Galatians chapter 5, starting from verse 22. But the specific verse that is assigned for this convocation is Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, which is speaking about walking and following with the Spirit. But I just want to take the bigger context of the entire paragraph, and after reading the text, I would like to take a moment to pray. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature, which is with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, or let's walk with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Just like the five fingers on our hand, I'm going to take 5 points out of this scripture. Shall we pray and start our message with the word of prayer? Dear God, we can't thank you enough for giving us the scripture as a living witness of your word, strengthening, sustaining, feeding, inspiring, and instigating the power of faith in our life. Today I pray that you think through my mind and speak through my mouth, none of me, but all of you. I pray that revelation knowledge from the Word of God would flow unstopped or unhindered, uninterrupted by any carnal or satanic force. I pray that your revelation will encounter our faith and will help us grow in following you and in becoming your servants and witnesses of the gospel. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time I read this scripture, the first point that I notice is the scripture talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And that is very interesting because it is not talking about the fruit of our life, the fruit of our knowledge, the fruit of our skill, or the fruit of our body, or the fruit of our personality. The fruit of the Spirit. And now every time I see this scripture, I ask, which spirit? What kind of spirit? The simple answer comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, which is being born of the Spirit of God, which comes as a work of Holy Sacrament called baptism. And when we are baptized, we are born of water and the Spirit, which is grounded on the foundation of the Word of God. And that Spirit is in our spirit, in our life. And that Spirit is not our spirit, it is the Spirit of God. That means love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. None of this is a product or a work of my life. But all of this comes as a product or as a result of the Spirit of God that has dwelt in me. So it is very clear that in our personality or in our humanity or in our carnality, we cannot produce these fruits. If you see love, joy, gentleness, perseverance, forgiveness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness in my life, may it be known to all. All this is not from me. None of this is not from me. All of this is a fruit of the Spirit. And that Spirit is the Spirit of God. And if you want to see what my body, what my mind, what my personality produces, they are called fruits of the flesh. This is fruit of the Spirit. And that Spirit is the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, of whom we were born, out of whom we were born, into who we were born. And that Spirit contains, sustains, and propels our life into the future. That Spirit, according to the book of Ephesians, is the Spirit of resurrection. And it is because of that Spirit that I'm a Christian. And it's because of that Spirit that I bear fruit. It's because of that Spirit I am who I am. And it's because of that Spirit I have this life in Jesus Christ. And it's because of that Spirit that I was born again into the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. So it is not the fruit of the flesh. It is the fruit of the Spirit. In one way, this is a very humbling statement, which means maybe there is love and joy and kindness and gentleness in your life, but you have to know that product or that fruit is not a fruit of your life, but it is a fruit of the life of God that dwells in you. And that is a new life that Christ has given you. Because Christ died, we have the life of the Spirit. Because Christ died, we have the indwelling of the Spirit. And that Spirit that dwelt in us produces all this fruit in our life. So the first point in my message today is, let's pay attention that this scripture is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Number two, in order for this Spirit to bear fruit in our life, there is one ingredient that is very important, and it is given to us in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and desires. So the ingredient that is necessary for the Holy Spirit to bear fruit in our life is our crucified body. We no longer live, but Christ Jesus lives in us. Belonging to Christ means having the life of Christ, the name of Christ, the word of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the grace of Christ, the promise of Christ, and none of ours. Everything that is ours, its passion, its desire, its knowledge, its pride, its identity, everything that is me and mine has to be crucified and removed. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit starts to work in my life fully and more powerfully. You know, in the Lutheran doctrine, in the Lutheran teaching, justification by faith alone wipes out the pride of human flesh and human carnality. And we try to be in control of our life, in control of our process, and in control of our destiny. But the Holy Spirit says, take that control out of the picture and let Christ Jesus control your life. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit flourishes and flows in our life, removing human carnality and human flesh. One of the biggest and the greatest prides that we have as sometimes as theologically trained individuals or long-term Christians is we think that we know it all. We have the degree, we have the experience, we have the knowledge, we have the wisdom, we have the certificate, we have the ordination, we have the authority, and we have all of those things, which is absolutely necessary and good. But we can never put our pride and our confidence and our faith in all that. Our humanity has to be crucified. And then we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to Christ. That means He owns us. We belong to Him. It is not, this belongingness is not a grouping, or it is not an identity, or it's not an association. This belonging is someone owns me. Someone owns my time, my life, my identity, my personality, my destiny. I am claimed and I am owned and I belong to Jesus Christ. I belong to Jesus Christ. Many, many years ago, revival broke out. Revival of the Holy Spirit in one of the oldest Lutheran congregations in the western part of Ethiopia. That congregation was established by Swedish and German missionaries in a beautiful small town called Nagamte. And it's called the Evangelical Church Makane Jesus Congregation of Nagamte. Out of that, many missionaries, including my father and many others, have grown. That congregation has been tremendously blessed. Early in the late 1950s, early 1960s, and late 1960s, the revival of the Holy Spirit broke out in that congregation. And there was a big divide and a big conflict. Many of the young people, boys and girls, men and women, joined that revival and they start to pray and sing and jump. And all the old hymns that we learned from the missionaries, the words were taken and African music, indigenous melody, indigenous identity was inculcated into it. And people start to sing and dance and break out in revival, speak in tongues and cast out demons and witness the powerful healing power of the word of God in the life of many. The church was divided into two. And one of the elders one day stood up and declared, "This church is officially divided among the elderly and the youth. The elderly keeping in tradition of the missionaries, the music, the liturgy, the melody, the singing, everything kept just as the Swedish missionaries gave it to us. And the young people were contextualizing, indigenized, and at the same time, expression of passionate faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ." And this elderly man stood up and says, "Those of you who belong to the youth, one side. Those of you who belong to the elders, on the other side." And one elderly woman stood up and said, "I am not going to take the side of the youth, nor will I join the side of the elders. I belong to Jesus Christ and His promised Holy Spirit." And that day, she became the leader of that revival. She was a movement. She was a moving mother of faith and mother of prayer. Dear brothers and sisters, we belong to Jesus Christ. We don't belong to this party or to that party. We don't belong to this color or to this race. We don't belong to this nationality or this ethnicity. We belong to Jesus Christ. When he claims you, everything that is old gets crucified. You belong to Jesus Christ. When we belong to him, we put all our worries, all our questions, all our concerns, all our fears, all our doubts, everything on him, because he cares for you. When you belong to Jesus, he takes control and he takes authority and he takes total ownership of your present and your future and your past. No matter how messy, how dirty, how sinful, how defiled your life is, he takes it upon himself. He takes your present life and he takes your future identity and your future destiny. We belong to Jesus Christ. We found one another in Christ. That is why we are in the same convocation. You found me in Jesus and I found you in Jesus. You belong to Jesus and I belong to Jesus, and we are of the same Father and we are of the same life. One time I was doing ministry for 21 days throughout different cities of Australia. And I was staying in the house of one pastor, a wonderful pastor, in the small town called Adelaide, in the southern part of Australia. That was the motherland and the hub of Australian Lutheran Church. And while I was staying in that house, we just got so close to one another. I loved his family, and they took me in as their own son, and they gave me their son's bedroom. And I was staying in that bedroom and doing ministry, and I was going out of their house to Sydney or to Brisbane or to Adelaide or to Perth or to different parts of Australia. And every time I come back, I take resident and I rest and relax in their house, and I just wear my shirts and we just sit and watch rugby, even though I don't understand it, and we just enjoy one another's company and share witness and testimony of the gospel. One day, he said, "You know, even though you came from Africa, even though you are a black preacher, you look, do you know what you look to me?" He said, and he said, we look exactly like my brother. I don't see any difference between me and you are just my brother." And I looked at him, "Pastor John, I also see no difference between me and you. I was born in Africa. You were born down under in Australia. We're geographically far apart. Racially, I am black, you are white. Nationally, I am an American, you are an Australian. I live in the north and you live way down there. It doesn't matter. In order for me to come from the United States to you, I have to fly 16 hours straight on the plane. But we belong to the same Lord. He claimed us. We are one, belonging in Jesus Christ." Today, all kinds of teachings, all kinds of media, all kinds of declarations, all kinds of decrees, all kinds of legislations, all kinds of political manifestos will not unite humanity. But the person of Jesus Christ claims us from the north or the south, from the west or from the east, from this race or from that race, from this gender or from that gender. It doesn't matter. We belong. And we find each other in the crucified persona of Jesus Christ. And he transforms us. Though we were enemies of God and enemies of one another, we live together. We love one another. And we worship the same God. And we call one another brother and sister, and we call him Abba, Father. whether we pray in Arabic or whether we pray in Amharic or in Oromo or in English or in French or in Spanish, it doesn't matter. All of us start our prayer with one word, Abba, Father. We belong to Jesus. And then the old self is crucified with all its passion and with all its desires. And that is what we call radical transformation of the gospel, which transforms us into a new person, into a new identity, into a new destiny, and into a new group called the Christians, disciples, and followers of Jesus Christ. And point number three brings me to where he says, those who belong to Christ have crucified their sinful self, and now they live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. The first work of the Holy Spirit in our life is not sanctification. The first work of the Holy Spirit in our life is justification, which is giving us life. We were dead, but now we are living. That's what Paul writes in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead, disconnected, detached, and distant from God. But now we live and we are alive. Hallelujah. Life. Who gives us life other than God? Life in creation, life in justification, life in redemption, life eternal is a pure, wonderful gift of God. You read a story in the book of Ezekiel, a story about Israel, where a baby was thrown in the blood, dying, dead, and discontinued from the mother in the middle of blood. And it says, he came and he saw me in the middle of death, and he says, live. And then I became alive. That is my story, and that is your story. The Word of God carries the power of life in us. Cultures, nations, neighborhoods, families, individuals, ministries that are dead will regain life when the Word of God is spoken into our life. In creation, we were dead, we were mud, we were dust, we were just a mixture of dust and water. But we became life when the Ruha of Elohim was breathed into our life and we became alive. Oh, my dear friends, there are so many people who are living dead in the church. That's why we are desperately in need of the Holy Spirit. We are desperately in need of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when I travel around the world, I see churches, and I feel, standing and doing ministry in those churches, I feel like those churches are gasping for air. They're not dead or they're not alive. They're just lukewarm. In order for us to come back to life, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to be breathed into our churches, gasping for life. Dead, struggling, desperate, hopeless, buried in the old tradition of Christianity and not experiencing the new life of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is calling us to experience the new life of the Holy Spirit. We're not called just to follow him just like lukewarm and tired and tardy and just angry and mad and hopeless and no excitement and no joy. No, no, no. We are called to have life. To have life. Right now, I'm in Ethiopia. We have started different kinds of ministries in one of our places where we do learning in a school. Last month, we planted 250 trees in the school. 250 trees. And it was a completely dry season. There was no rain. And then the running water that we have was not enough to water, go around and water sufficiently those 250 new trees. And I gave them the idea and the instruction to plant those trees so that we can transform that campus into a green campus where students can sit under the shade of the tree and enjoy each other's fellowship, read, pray, sing, and exercise, and do all kinds of joyful things. That was my vision, and that was my dream. But there was one problem. There was not enough water, and those trees were almost dying. They were wilting under the heat and powerful sun, tropical sun of Africa. My dear friends, this couple of days, the Lord blessed us with an incredible outpouring of rain. This morning, as I was walking around the campus, I spoke with the gardeners. And one of the gardeners is a part-time gardener in a part-time Orthodox Christian church priest. He came running to me, his brother from the Protestant church, a Lutheran pastor, and an Orthodox priest. We were talking to one another, and this priest said, "Praise our Savior." He said, "We have now rain. And that rain is giving life to those trees." Just like Isaiah says, "My word will not go back in vain." That word is like a rain from heaven. When that rain is poured upon our life starts to rejuvenate and revive and get life and redeemed and born again and experience the new life of the New Testament. I can't be more joyful. And here in the book of Ephesians, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we live by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the life of the church. That's why Jesus in the book of John chapter 21, when he came, entered behind the closed doors of that room in Jerusalem, there was almost dead disciples and community of the apostles. They were hopeless. Their Savior is dead. Their leader is dead. Their rabbi is dead. And their God was dead. But he came back into that room and he said, "Shalom, peace be upon you." And then he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When he exhaled the Holy Spirit, they inhaled that Spirit. Now they are alive. Our life comes from the Spirit of God. My prayer is for the Church of Jesus Christ to inhale the Spirit of God. I'm not going to pray for Jesus to exhale. He already has done it. One of the things that I enjoy in the Christian tradition is what we call apostolic succession. I believe in the apostolic succession because the Holy Spirit that was poured and given to the apostles has never been withdrawn from the church. I'm not saying just the apostolic succession, which comes from one generation to the other generation, coming only from and through the Pope in the Roman Catholic Church. I believe in the apostolic succession of the Word of God. For me, the living Word of God is apostolic succession. The living Spirit of God is apostolic succession. The living witness of the Christian church is apostolic succession. The living faithful mission work of the church is apostolic succession. It is all done through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it has never been withdrawn from the church. It goes from generation to generation to generation to generation. 2,000 years, the Church of Jesus Christ is alive. You know, when I read business books tell us strong businesses would be alive if they are very successful 100 years. They are extremely successful 150 years. No matter how rich, no matter how wealthy they are, whether they are a bank or a technology industry or an agricultural processing or manufacturing or financial industry or pharmaceutical industry, no matter how innovative or creative, institutions are born, institutions grow, institutions mature, institutions decline and die. Governments the same, empires the same, military victories the same, nations the same. But there is one institution that goes from power to power. It is called the Church of the Living Jesus Christ. The secret ingredient that sustains the church is the one that I call the power of the Spirit. That's why Paul says in the book of Galatians chapter 5, we live by the Spirit. If you want your congregation to live, your congregation lives by the Spirit. And some people may ask, when I walk through the streets of Oslo or the streets of Stockholm in Sweden, I see a lot of churches being demolished or sold or dying, becoming movie theaters or business centers. Why are those churches declining and dying in Europe and in the United States, in other places? Why? Churches forget that we are not living by the financial endowment that we have, not by the amount of degrees that we have earned. The Bible clearly says, we live by the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is fully welcome, fully acknowledged, fully honored, fully worshipped, fully heard, fully adored, fully exhausted in the Church of Jesus Christ, there is no death, but there is life. I go through the streets of Addis Ababa or through the streets of Johannesburg and Durban. Just this week, I have been in those three cities, in Durban by the Atlantic Ocean, in Johannesburg, South Africa, and in Addis Ababa. Every pastor, every missionary, every evangelist that I have is praying to buy a piece of land to build a church, to buy a piece of property to start a ministry, to buy a piece of room to fill it with young people. We live by the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is welcome in the church, there is no dying. We live and we continue to live. And a sign of our life is the fruit. And not only the fruit of our character, but the fruit that we bear in discipleship. More and more and more Christians and people coming to Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, brother, let me tell you, my sister, maybe you came from a small church in the rural area. Maybe you came from a big church. Maybe you are struggling in your marriage. Maybe you are struggling in your ministry. Maybe you are gasping for something new and fresh. Let me encourage you. We live by the Spirit. He who called us into the ministry, He who called us into a living fellowship with Himself, is alive. You're not going to die. Your ministry is not going to die because of the stress that you are going through because of COVID-19. You are not going to die because people have left your church and people are not coming to the building because of fear of this virus. You're not going to die, and your ministry is not going to die because you are old or you're sick or you're depressed or you're distressed. You live by the Holy Spirit. And my point number four, when you live, you're not just called just to live and to exist, but we live by the Spirit. And now let us walk with the Spirit. Let us walk. Now, I'm going to declare this prophetic word. We are not called to stand or to sleep or to stand still or to walk back or to retreat. We are called to walk with the Spirit. The last 3 years of Jesus' life on earth, during his busy ministry. He was walking up and down from north to south, from south to northern part of Israel. He was crisscrossing the geography of Israel, from Judea to Samaria to Galilee and to Nazareth to all the 10 cities. He was walking. He was nonstop. He was dynamic. Ministry of Jesus Christ is not a standstill. We walk. We continue to walk. And we continue to advance. We continue to advance. And we continue to walk in the name of Jesus Christ. And when we walk, we're not just walking randomly. We walk with a purpose. And we walk with a plan. And we walk with principles. All of it. We walk by faith. Hallelujah. We walk by faith. I have one shoes that I dearly love. I know all of you have that one shoes that you like that is so comfortable. And I hate that shoes is growing old. That shoes has been with me 11 years. I bought that shoes 11 years ago. Every time I travel overseas, I wear that shoes. It's so comfortable to run through the airport, to walk. It never grows old. And I enjoy my old shoes. It is an old, beautiful shoes. Every time I get a chance, I polish it and I put that ink on it and I cherish it. It's so comfortable. And that shoes has been with me for 10 years. And my kids know every time I pick that shoes, they know that I am going to travel. Every time I pick that shoes. My friends, every time you pick the Bible, every time you read the Bible, every time you believe the Bible, every time you hear the Bible, know that God is calling you to walk. Let's go. Because the Word of God is like a shoes for us. And the shoes of the gospel, the shoes of the gospel, just the helmet of salvation, the armbreast of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth. And when it comes to the gospel, the shoes of the gospel, which means the gospel of Jesus Christ is a power of mobility and dynamism in our life. Those who believe can never stand still. We move from one place to the other, from one level to the next, from one revelation to the next, from one experience to the next. Dynamic. Because Jesus is new every day. The Word of God is new every day. The grace of God is new every day. Our experience is new every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We move. So my prayer is for the Church of Jesus Christ to get out the four walls, to reach out, to stretch our hands, to stretch our resources, to stretch our faith, to stretch our words, to stretch our encouragement, and move and be dynamic. Be dynamic. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And the last word that I have. First point. Remember, this is not the fruit of your flesh. It is the fruit of the Spirit, which is not your spirit. It's the Spirit that dwelt in you. The Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit. The second point was, in order for that Spirit to continue working, our old self has to be crucified. No participation or no contribution of human carnal flesh is needed. Zero. None of me is important when it comes to advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all 100% is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the old self with all its passion and desire has to be crucified and removed. And the third point I shared is the concept of life is a gift of the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. We preach by the Spirit. We sing by the Spirit. We witness by the Spirit. We love by the Spirit. We rejoice by the Spirit. And the Spirit of God in our life gives us life. And then the fourth, that Spirit that is in us keeps us moving. It is like a wind under our wing. And those who are born of the Spirit, they don't know where they're coming from. They don't know where they're going, but they are going They are moving, says the book of John chapter 3, Jesus Christ. Those who are born of the Spirit are like that. They don't stand still. They move, they move, they move, and they go, and they bear fruit. Last but not least, it says, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. One of the best and the brightest and the most powerful context in which the Holy Spirit gets fully manifested is in the context of human relationship. Human relationship to God and human relationship to another human being. Love God and love your neighbor. The secret ingredient in fulfilling that great commandment of the New Testament is the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no way that we can love God. And without the Holy Spirit, there is no way that we can love our neighbor. Loving God and loving our neighbor is the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. This past year and a half was one of the most challenging and stressful years of our ministry. Dealing with COVID-19, online ministry, where we are not going to be in person, having difficulty doing those things that we love, the Holy Sacrament, baptism, Holy Communion, the proclamation of the Word of God, declaration of confession and absolution, the fellowship of believers. We have missed all of that. We went through the dark moments of fear, where we have lost over 500,000 Americans and over 1 million human beings from around the world, where medical professionals were in big distress, where national leaders and governments were distressed, where there was chaos in our political environment, where there was tension in between different races and ethnicities and colors and classes. We have witnessed the ugliest part of our human nature. But now, in this moment, let us come together and confess our sin and receive that absolution from Jesus Christ. And let's live by faith and let's continue to worship Him and follow Him and do the mission and ministry that He has called us to do. When I greet you all this from the beautiful city of Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Here, the Holy Spirit continues to work. But there are hundreds and thousands of pastors without any salary. Their churches have been dispersed. They could not afford to pay the rent that they're renting to continue their ministry. So many pastors, so many missionaries in great pain because they have lost their ministries. COVID-19 has impacted the Christian church more than any other institution. In our pastors, in our missionaries, everywhere I go, I have seen them struggle. They could not afford to live in the houses that they used to live. They could not continue to afford worshiping in the same building. It was like a viral persecution of the church. But no matter what happened, we live by the Spirit. And the church is not dying. Our God is alive. We have a future. No matter how dark, no matter how scary the world has been, we have a future. Your ministry, your church, your mission, your calling, your family, your destiny has a future. I beg you humbly to listen to this word. You have a future because you have been baptized into the Holy Spirit. You have been born again into the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is in you. And because of that, you are alive, and you will continue to be alive in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Keep praying for us. Keep standing with us in this mission and ministry work that we are doing. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. The North American Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. The NALC is committed to the renewal of all of our congregations, working to develop and deliver resources that challenge and open the NALC to the work of the Holy Spirit in our mission and ministry. If you enjoy these podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review in the app you are using today. Your ratings and reviews help others find this resource. Thank you again.